Welcome everyone to our little series, Iceberg Ahead. Well, today I want to speak about business and Christianity. With me in studio today is Radim Passer. Radim Passer is a real estate entrepreneur and is listing among the 50 richest people in Czech Republic. This year his company turned 30 years old. In his youth he loved football and was almost on the way to becoming a professional. After some ups and downs in life, his past changed, and he became a follower of Jesus. Today he loves nice cars, fast drives, and most of all, the precious Word of God, which has made him an international speaker for lectures and Bible studies. Radim, I know you're a busy man and just passing through, so I'm very grateful that you made a stopover for us. Thank you for being here today.
It's my privilege to be here with you.
I want to talk with you about business and Christianity, how both can work together and what we expect for the future. Well, at first, let me ask, have you been born in a wealthy or a business-minded family?
I born in a communist era in Czechoslovakia, so it was no space for wealthy families. My father's side family came from Jewish environment. So they came 200 years ago to the Czech Republic, I think from Germany and different ways. But for our nation wasn't good the last century, because we were before Second War one of the most developed country in Europe. But then we were sold to Hitler. And after the end of the Second War, we were sold to Stalin. And we spent 40 years in communist era, so we were poor family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you start as in a poor family and then you build up. How would you describe your childhood and youth?
My childhood was happy because I liked to play soccer. I had a lot of friends in the school and in the football I played for Bohemians. It was that time I was one of the top Czechoslovak footballing team. Many people knows Antonín Panenka and his final penalty kick in 76 in Belgrade against Germany. And by the way, Antonín Panenka is one of my very good friends. And it was really nice to have a sports childhood because I could forget I was growing up in a country without freedom.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, you made a good way. Even if you would have spent effort in it, you could make it to a professional football player.
Yes, if I would have a lot of much more sense in my head when I was 18, I had good chance to play some way professionally. But unfortunately, that time I was a really silly person.
Hmm. What happened? Where do you spend your time with?
When I was last year in the junior team, I started to smoke and drink, and it really didn't help my soccer career.
Mm-hmm. So there were some more things in your head than have a soccer career. You look out for was a yeah. party and I, smoking alcohol.
Exactly. I thought if I have talent, it came just alone, but it didn't true.
Oh man, okay, yes. But when does it start, or what made you to become a businessman?
Before fallen of communism, I knew I don't want to work for communist regime. I didn't want to spend in communist army 2 years. So I started to think about emigration. I felt some gifts to be gifted person to doing business. At the end of 80s, I bought from different parts some Russian champagne, Russian caviar, and tried to sell it to people from the West, especially German tourists. And at the year 89, I was able to save some small money. I could able to buy my first car. It was amazing Volha Kombi with great consumption, just 10 liters per every 10 kilometers.
Nice. Okay. A Volga Kombi. Wow, yeah, I, I guess I know these kind of cars. You say 10 liters per 10 kilometers.
Because you could put inside lot of boxes with champagne.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Oh, funny. You still own this car?
No.
No.
I bought it, I think, shortly after revolution, probably by the end of 89, and I sold it very easily to some, I would say, modern people who do some sports from Baltic countries, mm-hmm. like it was some modern five sports, like shooting, mm-hmm. I don't know the English word for this.
Yes, I know what you mean, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so I had a car just 2 or 3 months.
Okay, so I guess you missed that car.
Yeah, because there was the hole in the in the tank, because otherwise...
Crazy, yeah. Well, this was so the starting of your business, yeah? So you were a kind of trader.
Of course, yeah. You are right, because for me it was important what my clients wanted. Yeah, and I try to fulfill their requirements. And it is always important if you do a business to be oriented on clients.
Mm-hmm. How old have you been there when you
26.
Started? 26 years old. Yeah. Well, in these days, what do you think about the gospel and Jesus Christ?
I've never joking about this topic, but to be honest, I grew up in a Catholic family, but with no relationship with God, mm-hmm. and I didn't care about.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I understand, especially in these times, there were not many people, they were spreading the word.
Mm. Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely.
And from this business in these times, it was a kind of trading business, you changed your type of business. Construction? Was it construction or?
It was some steps. Because of caviar and champagne, I visited Germany a couple of times, and I met some Czech German entrepreneur here, and his brother was acting in real estate. So I met him one time, and he wanted me to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to work for him about 1.5 years. It was great school for me, mm-hmm. because I could understand what is all business about, and my ideas how to do serious business I could confirm in real world, and it was great school for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started my own business at the end of 1991.
The end of 91. So very short after the fall of communism.
Yes.
So you started your own business.
But I had at the beginning just to trade with real estate, because I had mm-hmm. no capital. So mm-hmm. to do work as a real estate developer, and especially if you would like to do some commercial development, you need some capital. So it was still some steps to do to start our first real development project.
Mm-hmm. In 1991 it started. And I know today you are a Christian and you're a speaker, you give Bible lectures. I have even seen, when I visit the Czech Republic, I had some flyers in hand where your face was on, and there was written that you give some Bible studies. I remember, when was the time when you get to know Jesus?
It was 98. My wife believed there is God in the heaven. I didn't care about. But we a long time wanted to have child. I was fifth firstborn son in a row. So I always believe we will have son one day.
Yeah.
And my sense of life was one day to hand over the prosperous family business to my son.
Hmm.
In 98 our first son was born. So we were very happy. We finished our first nice office project in Prague, full of great tenants like Hewlett-Packard, General Electric, or 3M. And I was happiest man in the world at the time. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, our son was sick. We've got to know it when was he 6 weeks old. And he had a cancer in his head, and mm-hmm. we lost him. And it was the time when my wife told me God wanted us to say something. And I answered, I know, Jana, I would like to change myself. And it was first time in my life when I was willing to listen voice of God. And we started to read Bible. I had a lot of questions because my intention was we will be Catholics. But my wife told, let's wait, we should get know some more information. And I had some experiences with silent voice of God. I asked, there wasn't any prophet since Apostle's time during 2000 years? And my wife told me, because her cousin was Seventh-day Adventist that time, and she's name is Simona, and she spoke with my wife about Bible. And my wife intuitively felt that's true. And I was now open to hear it. And my question was about these prophets. And Jana told me, I think there was one. She was probably an American lady. And I've spoke with Simona, and she recommended me to read the great controversy books, all five books. And I've read it during 6 months, and it helped me to understand Bible much more than before. Mm-hmm. And during these 6 months was the great evangelistic campaign from United States. It was Next Millennium Seminar with Pastor Dwight Nelson from Andrews University, Michigan. So during this campaign, we decided to be baptized. But it was still some way to achieve the baptism.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, I mean, especially when you have a business and you're a wealthy man or a very intelligent man, Satan will not easily let you go. He wants to have you in his forces, in his army. I often hear from people, they experience several attacks before they go to baptism. Mm. And I mean, what was it like for you? Do you make the same experiences? Do you have some attacks or some hindrances on the way to baptism?
Absolutely. The devil doesn't change his behavior. So I had that feeling it will happen something. We twice postponed our decision to be baptized because the evangelistic campaign was autumn 98, and for second time, we postponed our baptism till September 99. And when we did it, I expect something. And three, for me, closest associates in my company, they tried to steal my company. So it was less than 1 year after losing our little Max, our boy, and we didn't have either child and company as well. But it was the time when I was able to solve everything already with knowledge that I love God and He's on my side. So it means, first of all, I try to forgive them. Second, I told my wife about it, and we pray together, and we promise to Jesus no other trial will mean we wouldn't be baptized. So we were baptized in September 99, and 12 days after baptism, I've got company back. Mm-hmm. The people got something more than would be normal, but God, I am so thankful to God for this trial because it allowed me to cleanse company from untrusted people. Mm-hmm. And since that time, I always hire people on my knees with prayer, and I had great experiences with hiring people so far until now. And this, we have a very stable team of maybe just 10-12 persons Seventh-day Adventist in the company. But even the rest of the group, there are people which are professionals and with moral behavior.
Mm-hmm. And you can trust them.
I can. And mm-hmm. It is such beautiful freedom if you can trust people in your company. Mm-hmm. It is, you can't buy it. It's just gift from God.
Absolutely, yeah. And it, I mean, it's amazing to hear that you have put everything on the altar of God before baptism. You say you can take, I mean, you can take my life, you can take my business, you can take everything I own, but I want to follow you.
And except one thing, we didn't sacrifice immediately our desire to have another baby. Hmm. It took next, I would say 2 years after losing our little Max, mm-hmm. and we still pray every day to have another baby. And then both, me and my wife, decided to dedicate this for us the most important question of our earthly life to God's hand. And it meant we were prepared to accept God's will even though if we wouldn't have any other child in our life. Mm-hmm. And when we took this decision, during next 3 months my wife became pregnant and then was born Radim Jr. in August 2001, and it was one of my nicest experiences with God's promises.
This is great. Even cute that you call him Radim as well.
Yeah.
Nice to hear. Well, it was from this time on, after your baptism, you were a very active member in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I know you have built up your own ministry. It calls Maranatha. May I ask, what is Maranatha doing, or what is this for, and when have you planned to build it?
It was step by step. First of all, I was able to ever God is owner of everything what I have. All my relationships with my wife, with my closest friends, with my brothers and sisters, and of course of my company. And then in 2000 we finished our first investment transaction. We sold our buildings to American Institutional Fund, and I understand I should make some contract with God in my heart how to use resources from Him, including money. Yeah. Of course, you have tithe, and that's. But it's tithe belongs to church, but you can provide more. You can provide some gifts. So I decided to provide another tithe, and it means at the beginning it was just a bank account called Maranatha. But time ran, and my assistant had a lot of work with my non-profit activities. So I decided to establish some ministry. So it was Maranatha Ministry in 2002 with first employee. And then staff was growing, and how God blessed our work. I always was willing to increase the percentage amount for the gifts. Mm-hmm. And Maranatha could providing sources for different evangelistic and mission projects in our country, but also in abroad. And at the end, we started with our own projects.
It's great. And it's still running today, Maranatha, right?
Thanks to God. Yeah, we are so grateful. We are invited from God to take a small cooperation in His work.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for this. I mean, you know, Amazing Discoveries turned 20 years last year, and I know Maranatha this year as well.
Yeah.
It's great to see how God is blessing these works. I mean, when I think about your business and combined with the Maranatha ministry, I know you have the opportunity to call wealthy people to follow Jesus. Mm. Well, now, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And I'm sure you often have read these verses.
It's one of the most quoted verse to me.
Yeah, well, I guess. Yes. Well, what are your experience in spreading the gospel among wealthy people? Is it difficult?
It is not difficult to spreading the gospel to them. Because they are typically smart people. Mm-hmm. They are willing to listen very often. They are able to consider what you are telling them. Many of them, of course, don't believe in such a nonsense like evolution. They understand there is something above us, but they are used to rely on their own strengths. And I think the crucial point for them is to replace, to rely on their own strengths, to dedicate everything to Jesus. This is the crucial point, and typically on this everything ends.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point you mentioned. They are successful, they are mostly intelligent, they are wealthy, so they can do a lot of things with their own power.
Yeah.
And to handle this over to the loving hands of God must be a huge step.
Yeah. Yes, it's probably God allowed in our life the losing our small child, our first son, because it had to be something such huge in my life that I would be able and willing to listen voice of God. Yeah. But I, from these 24 years, I'm able to thank God for it, because if I will stay faithful to Him, I will be with my little Max for eternity.
Amen. It's great, yeah. I mean, that's, of course, the things we cannot handle, huh? Health and even death, it's too high for men to handle this. And we have to deliver this to the hands of God and to understand this. I mean, there's even a quote in the Psalms, I think, may us understand that we will need to die, that we become wise.
Yes, yes.
So this is something that's above our strength. You know, there are a lot of good-minded and rich people in the scriptures. So like Abraham and Joseph, David, Daniel, Nicodemus in the New Testament, and several others. Do you think that with regard to the rich young ruler, it was harder for them to make a decision for Christ because they were very wealthy?
My Bible says the root of all evil is love to money. It's not money itself. I think this this man was probably some pre-Catholic because his rely on his gifts. He was able to tell Jesus, I did this and I did this. But eternal life, it's Jesus has to be on the first place in all aspects of our lives. Money are not problem if they have the right priority. So we can read in the Bible, Jesus see on him with love, because he gave his precious blood also for this young, probably young, wealthy man. But it's everything about our decision, if we rely on Christ or if we rely on ourselves.
I was always wondering about this young man when he was talking with Jesus. Jesus, he gave him an answer, so what he has to do to receive eternal life. And the young man, he decided against this. And the Bible says he went away sadly. So he must understood that there was something more to gain for him, something with more value, but he decided against it by knowing this is, he needs it. And he went away, the Bible says, because he was very rich. He was too bounded to this planet.
I think the most richest persons in this earth are people who 100% dedicate and rely on God, because they know they have eternal life. And nothing in this world can be comparable with eternal life.
Absolutely, yeah. They will inherit everything, the Bible says. Yeah. Well, you have achieved a lot of a lot in this life, and many people dream of being rich and successful. How much do rich people enjoy this world? Do they still have unreached longings in their heart? You can connect.
Yeah, they not definitely not many of them are really happy in their lives, because they can buy practically anything what they want, but it doesn't mean in bring happiness to your life. The real happiness come out from a relationship. and all foundation of the relationship, it's our relationship with true God. Mm-hmm. Many rich people, which I know, are true Christians, but of course, not many of them are from Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. But if you count the richest people in the some Forbes order in this world, they are not Seventh-day Adventists because they don't care about. They don't need it to be there. It's the richest people, as I said, are who really trust Jesus in their lives, and it brings happiness to their life. Mm-hmm. It's not about the material stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's often that the Holy Spirit must work in their hearts to figure out that there's more to gain than what they have. Mm. Well, may I ask, I mean, I know you give a lot of Bible studies, you give a lot of lectures, and I have seen several of them. What is the way, so how do you reach out for these people? So what do you show them, what do you say to them?
Typically, I use as a lay pastor, I have time to time some sermon, but as a lay evangelist, I use great tool, which was invented in our church, which is New Beginning series. I did in my life already 23 lectures, and but it's not just about the preacher, about the speaker, it's about the whole team which is behind, because we need to work with people who are coming to listen Word of God. And we do typically two sort of this series. One of them are the public meetings, and depending if you have one lecture per night or two, it can take 3 or 5.5 weeks. Or we do for people from business environment 3 days. It means 27 lectures during 3 days, starting Thursday noon and ending Sunday noon. And the Friday and Sabbath, you start 7:15, the first lectures, ending 9 p.m., maybe 9:15, the last one. And we did already 8 times this type of New Beginnings for these people from business environment.
Wow, do you have break between the lessons?
Of course, you have always 10 minutes breaks. Then you have, let's say, starting 7:15 morning, finishing 9 first lesson. Then you have breakfast. Then 10:15 you start the morning sessions with 3 lessons, finishing at 1, then is the lunch. afternoon you have 2 hours for some praying with people or some resting or something this. And then 4 p.m. starting another 2 lessons until dinner. It's from 4 to 6, then is dinner, and the evening sessions is from 7 till 9:15, depending on how long are these lessons. And I can testify, I experienced this already 8 times, but I've never come home more tired than from my normal business day, because if you would like serve God, He will give you strength. And never, of course, me as a speaker, I can't sleep. Yeah? But I've never noticed that any of the person in the audience would sleep during this lesson. So nice experiences, and we could see dozens and dozens changing lives.
It's good to hear that you say this. I was just thinking about only businessmen can attend this busy schedule, but it's, of course, when you say it's how to say it's easy to carry, and I guess the people are happy to listen to, because it's great news for them, huh?
And they are not interrupted during these 3 days. Mm-hmm. Because if they come one night, next day they have a lot of business issue to solve, and they will come again night to listen to another lesson. Mm-hmm. But during these 3 days, they can fully concentrate it on this God's Word, and of course they will remember maybe 5%, maybe less even. But God works with these people always the way they will leave these 3 days with something what is really important, particularly for them. Mm-hmm. And this is really nice experience.
I love to hear this, and I can imagine how the Holy Spirit is working there, mm-hmm. and the kind of atmosphere the Holy Spirit is making. This is great news. Thank you for doing this business, especially in Maranatha. You know, sometimes the people say, and I understand, that there were difficulties in business as a Christian. And especially, you know, when I read the comments under your videos in the internet, a lot of people are quoting there, I find out that people say that you're a happy and a believer. How do you keep this joy with that many responsibilities you carry?
Okay, God gives us some responsibilities, but He gives us also the joy from salvation, from the eternal life, and it's much more important than all these responsibilities. Of course, we have today to fulfill our commitments. Of course, I have responsibilities from my job, from my family, but the most important is ministry. It is nice because if you are, let's say, self-supporting ministries or minister, you don't need the donations from others. You can use the resources which you have from God because of your business, because of you are doing something, and that is a great experience. But I would like to stress, we always cooperate with the church, because it's very important. Church is always informed about all our project, what we would like to do. We are willing to listen their advices, and I think it's great cooperation.
Good to hear. But well, when I think about, for example, Daniel, mm-hmm. on the Babylonian court, he was a very intelligent, very successful, and very rich man. The problem was that because of that, he has a lot of very, influential enemies. Mm. Now, in higher circles, one often hears of envy and corruption. I mean, how's your experience with that, and how do you handle this? Do you have the same experiences, maybe?
Of course, probably I should start with Jesus. He was by far the nicest person ever walked for this earth. He came to his nation, chosen nation, all believers. He never did anything bad to any single person. He never committed any sin. And even his chosen nation hated him. And just small portion of the nation were his followers. And now question to me, what I should expect? I can't compare with, of course not with Jesus, but also I can't compare with the greatest person in the history, which were God's humble servants. And I don't want to say I like the hates or envy. Of course, nobody. Nobody is happy if anybody else speaking bad things about you. Either me, the same with me. It's very important to be aware. It's our role in this earth. We have to expect this, even though if we are not happy. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we can also testify with many great feedbacks, many great responses from people. And it brings to your life joy, yeah, of course. And the second topic is corruption. Of course, if you are a Christian businessman, corruption don't have any place in your business life. So we can't do businesses where would be corruption necessary. We reconciled with this many years ago, and everybody knows it. I would say politicians know it. They will never get anything from us. I had some experience from 2007. The market was on the top, and some politicians in Prague thought they should get some money for their pockets from us. And I said clearly to them, you will never get any single coins from us to your pocket. I would prefer stop doing my business than to give you anything. We can give you just something for your city, which would be the legal, and you can use it for the people, but you will never get anything to your pocket. And and they were not able to to live with this, but they told us you will not get any approval. And I thought, okay, your city could get from us such and such amount, and we can use this amount to buy some space in media, and we will tell them what you are doing here. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped and they make agreement with us. But sometimes it's necessary to go on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always good to place our feet in the court of God and yes. not to wend the path of the devil. Yeah. That we may be safe and under the blessing of God, of course. Mm. Maybe I'm allowed to ask a personal question. How important is praying and devotional time in your life?
It's essential. We should be holistic people, healthy spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I think the spiritual health is the most important. So without time for the praying, I couldn't be. Without the devotional time we have every evening, we have with our family some devotional. Of course, I have to. I am happy to have possibilities to read the Bible just myself. For me, are always very, I would say, nice time in the year when I can prepare for next evangelistic meetings, because it is the preparation. It's my time with God, and it always strengthens, I would say, my spiritual life. Sometimes I say the sentence, if I would only sending money for God's work and not sacrifice my time, it would be just a matter of time when I stop to send the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I need to have my heart in my ministry. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it wouldn't be real, it wouldn't be true.
And it's great, you know, when we work physically, our body will strengthen.
Yes.
And if we work spiritually for God, our mind will be strengthened.
Yeah.
This is great that it's like this, so we should never stop working for God.
Yeah.
And great that you see, that you get some, how to say, some strength out of it. You're a faithful man and you're a businessman, and you have a lot to do with business partners. And do these partners sometimes wonder about your Sabbath observance? I mean, how do you handle a strict 6-day week in your business? And do you face any problems with this?
I have to say, when I started to keep Sabbath day with joy, I was never tired. That's my experience, because this one day it's sufficient to get recharge your spiritual and physical batteries. Shortly after my baptism in the year 2000, we were in the process to sell our first two office buildings in Prague to American institutional funds. And one of my business partners told me, I think we will close the deal on Sabbath, on Saturday. And I answered him, I don't think so. And he said, why? Because God knows if it will be on Saturday, I won't be there.
how does he handle this? Was he okay with it?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. We are friends, so...
Oh, great. Yeah. So you could be a testimony for him.
Yeah.
Good to know. Well, may I speak a little bit about world economics and crisis and corona lockdowns with you? Just a few minutes, how you see the world today. I mean, especially for your business, how difficult is business in time of lockdowns and crisis today? Do you face difficulties?
Of course, this is the time which is incomparable because it's unpredictable. Our business wasn't never easy, but in these days the construction cost is rising. There is the lack of construction people, lack of technicians. Interest rates are going up.
And the lack of materials, right?
Of course, because of all the circumstances. Also, it is like in communist era in our country, lack of materials. I've never faced before. Mm-hmm. And there is also with rising interest rates, of course, there will be some impacts on valuations, on the yields. Because if interest rates are higher, of course, yields will go up as well and valuations goes down. So this is all, I would say, some facts which will be unpleasant for any player in this business segment, business market with commercial real estate. And the only thing which can a little bit compensate this is increasing of the rents. But it will be only in the case if there will be still demand for the premises. We feel demands in our market in Prague, but also there is some uncertainty in global corporations about their growth, because what are happening at the moment, it's difficult for them to plan for next years. Mm-hmm. So this is the business situation.
Yeah, I believe you. Well, how do you see the current measures regarding the corona pandemic? And, I mean, what could be done better in your choice?
I think we as a biblical Christian, we know the fight which is behind is strictly and only spiritual. This is the demoniac virus, terrible virus, which brought the death and sickness to many families. But it is in sport terminology, I would call it just pre-racer. Mm-hmm. Because the world governments are tested how they will react on it and how population and especially middle class will react on the fact they are losing some freedom. And devil hates democracy. Devil hates human freedoms. That's why it's attacked of democracy, attacks of our freedoms, and that's why it is just pre-racer. And from my opinion, I have evidence for it. And these two words of evidence is Green Deal, because people who are informed knows that Green Deal is here, let's say, since 70s last century. But how is possible that in Corona time, which has no direct relationship with Green Deal, Green Deal became a topic number one in the whole world? The answer is easy, because it's just test, and Green Deal should be the race. Mm-hmm. But of course, this power of evil will never act the way that God wouldn't adjust it. So I am still in the situation I completely trust my God, because he wrote this for us in his word in the Bible. There will be such a thing. There will be no democracy before Jesus will return. Mm-hmm. And we can listen his word and we can obey him, and it brings peace to our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you shortly explain what this green deal is? What's behind this? What does it mean?
I think, of course, it's another foolish man of mankind. Mm-hmm. Because people try to save planet without God. And it will never happen. Because the God is creator. God is the only who can keep our life, keep us alive. And the life on this earth is just because we have God's people on this earth. This is only reason for life on this earth. And it will end until it will last until Jesus will come again. So, and Green Deal is just human, I would say, human effort to save this planet, but without taking account there is the God in the heaven. And of course we are, there will be battle Daniel 11 still, we are still ahead. And it's, I call it for myself, there will be battle between devil, devil atheist and devil spiritist. And and we know that false religion, devil spiritist, will succeed there.
It's interesting, huh, that even today we see a lot of laws are made under this climate deals. So they have these meetings, and a lot of countries have to pay to reach these climate goals. And it's scary to see what they do.
It's similar stupid. Sorry for this word. It's similar stupid like whole communist system. They thought they can create heaven without God on this earth. They absolutely forgot that people are, because of devil, because of sin, people are naturally selfish and pride. And with selfishness and pride, you can't create anything like communism. And this is very similar, right? This is maybe mix of communism and fascism, the Green Deal, but the time will show us.
I'm pretty sure, we will face it soon, I think, Well, the Czech Republic is closer to the Ukraine than Germany, geographically. People say today, when we have a look to the war, they say wars make a lot of people poor and some people rich. Would you agree with this?
I think it is with the whole history, same scenario. Really small group of people would like to have war because of you mentioned. But 99%, maybe more even, don't want to war. Because it brings tragedies in people's life and devastating the countries and the lives of people, and it's clear any such a war are coming always from evil. Devil wants people to war and be in such a bad situation. So, of course, we know from the Bible there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars before Jesus will come again. And I am so sorry for Ukraine people because they are sacrifice.
It looks like exactly what I think about it. Well, there are wars, of course. We speak about pandemics and their economical crisis. What do you think is the greatest danger today in these turbulent times?
Maybe I said it already some different words, but I think it's some foolishness of mankind to take the solution of their own hands without God. If we don't count with God's solution, the results will be always terrible.
Yeah, short and pointed answer. I think so. Well, I just at the beginning I said I want to talk a little bit about what we expect for the future, and maybe in the last minutes we can have some ideas about it. I mean, today in this crisis and what we face today, many people worry about their savings. And I suppose the more someone owns, the more worries they have. Are they already talking about safe investment opportunities in wealthy circles? I mean, Do you have any recommendations for us?
Of course I have. As a Bible student, I know we should make the best investments in treasure of heaven. It means to bring the gospel as much people as possible, because this is the greatest business which is happening in the whole universe. God is saving people for eternity, and we are invited to be part of it. So this is the best investment you can do.
Great. Yeah, we can take nothing from here to heaven.
Absolutely.
But we can earn treasures in heaven today. Yeah. But a very practical question. What advice would you give to people who are now deciding to buy a house and property? What should they pay attention to?
They should pay attention on the valuation, about possibility to put some equity, about the interest rates, if they are be able to pay the mortgage, even if the interest rates will go up. Always it's necessary to make some fixation, but the question is always after, let's say, 5 years fixation of the interest rates, how can be the rates at that time? Yeah, because if somebody fixed the rates 5 years ago in euro currency, it was practically zero. But now interests are going up, so there should be always sensitive of loan to value. So it means their debt should be from the whole value of this in some acceptable level. If not, they can come to some trouble, not be able to pay mortgage. So, and of course, back to our Davos World Economic Forum, they are trying to persuade us we will own nothing in terms of 10 years and we will be happy. Yeah.
That's Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, and my question is, if we will own nothing, who will be the owner?
Interesting question, yeah. Who will take this here? Well, if people would now search for a property to buy somewhere, would you more suggest them to buy it now far outside the cities or close to the cities or even in the cities?
I think it's a good question. Of course, property in the cities are more expensive, and it will be. Until some economic collapse, it will be really expensive. But I would say we should obey what God is saying to us, and it should be property in the countryside, because you can have own resources of water, for instance, own resources of electricity. You can have your small agriculture field. So for us as a biblical Christian who trust God's prophecies, I think it's very important to live out of the cities.
With regard to the Bible, how do you see the future? What do we have to adjust to today? So what is coming?
Yes, we don't know how difficult will be the last stage before Jesus will return. It's, I think, beyond our imagination. So I think in these days, which we still have relatively peace and harmony in society, and still we can live in democratic society, I think it's important to be awake. To be aware that God wants us to use as a tool in His hands for helping others. And if we didn't do it, we should do it immediately.
Yeah, good advice. Looking to America, are we already on the way to the image of the beast? Let me shortly explain. So the image of the beast in the Bible, I mean in Revelation 13,
yes,
where it speaks about the apostate Protestantism, searching for spiritual help. And they combine state and church, but the Protestant church and the state is combined. Are we already on the way to this, to the image of the beast?
For sure, because it's God's word. God's word is telling us. So since I was a child, I love United States of America. It's my loving country. I have a lot of friends, my brothers and sisters in the United States. But of course, Bible is telling us that United States, there's the story with good start, but with no happy end, because the end won't be good one. Because when United States authorities destroy the wall between the religious freedom and the state, and they will issue the laws which will push people to be part of the global political religious power, then they will act as a dragon, as is written in the Bible.
It's interesting at this point. It looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon.
Yes, yes.
And when I think about how is the dragon speaking, and I read in the Bible, Jesus said, the devil, he's a liar and the father of lies. And I thought, oh, okay, there's something. It seems to be something different than it looks like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it will be by issuing the new laws, mm-hmm. and especially religious laws.
Mm-hmm. And against the freedom of conscience.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are on the way already, huh? Well, step
yes,
by step.
We are coming towards this point, and only God knows how long it will really take.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to know that God still holds fast the winds.
Absolutely. This is very important, because all these disasters which are coming are not from God, it's from mm-hmm. devil.
Mm-hmm.
And after end of mercy, end of grace will finish, because we are still living in time of grace. People can do existential decision
mm-hmm.
for Christ or against, but it will finish one day, and then will come the seventh plagues, and mm-hmm. it will be plagues from God.
Yeah, every case will be decided then. Uh-huh. To make our decision today. Yeah. Well, let me have a last question. Yeah, I mean. What advice would you give our viewers for these days? Is there anything maybe you would advise them? You would maybe a sentence that you would bring to their heart? Now would be the opportunity. Is there any special advice from you?
We are the spiritual people. As a biblical Christians, and I can't give a better advice to anybody than surrender 100% your life to hands of Jesus Christ, and you will live forever.
Amen. Thank you very much, Radim. It was a pleasure to have you here.
It was my pleasure too.
And thank you very much to all of our viewers. It was great that you joined our series, Iceberg Ahead. And stay safe in these days. May God bless you, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
God bless you.